Welcome to another message from the Gospel of Luke. We've studied every verse in Luke so far. We've gone through a lot of subjects. The last one was the parable of fools and worldlings. This one is the cares and anxieties of the world. The cares and anxieties of the world. We're going to start with verse number 22 in Luke. By the way, we're almost finished with volume number 2 of the Gospel of Luke. And there's three volumes, actually. A pan de pros tus mathetes. Autu dia tuto lego himeneme merimenete te psyche ti fagete mede to somata to ti in dis seite. And he said to the disciples, the word disciples there is mathetes. Mathetes means habitual learners. Now, in brackets is autu, so it's actually not there. But we're talking about the disciples of Jesus. Because of this I say to you, not ye worry, and don't be anxious, don't be troubled. Merimenete means to have your mind just going 10, 15 directions at the same time to where you cannot concentrate. You've got so many things on your mind that you cannot hold a sound train of thought. Don't be worried and anxious in the soul or for your life or for your soul, literally. What ye may eat, nor for the body what ye may put on. Verse number 23 now. Hagar psyche pleon estin tes trophes hi to soma tu and dematos. Now over here in the last verse we had the word phagete from the estio, which means to eat. Or to swallow down. And here it says, for the life, for the soul, more it is compared to food. Trophies. The word trophies there, we probably get the word trophy from in English. Okay. A trophy is something you go out and you hunt for a deer or whatever. And we call it a trophy, a head or horns or whatever. But the real trophy for the people that really hunted was the food. Mm-hmm. For the food and the body of the clothing. Now let's go back and read that in the Amplified Bible in verse number 22 and 23. And Jesus said to his habitual learners, his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious and troubled with cares about your life as to what you will have to eat, or about your body as to what you will have to wear. Now, eating is very important, isn't it, Marilyn?
Yes.
You're either hungry or you're tired, one or the other. Mm-hmm. You either want to sleep or you want to eat. I'm reminded of that all the time. My mother, I went across country with her several times after I was growing up. And we would go to a restaurant someplace. We'd travel all the way to Oklahoma and visit my family in Oklahoma and Falls Valley and around there. But from the time that we left the house, she said, where are we going to eat? My stepfather would say, you starve an Indian. You're always worried about eating the next time. We'd just go and we'd eat, and she would be full as she could be, and she said, where are we going to eat the next time? We just left. She was always worried about eating all the time. Yeah.
She was hungry at one time in her life.
She was hungry. And I've been hungry too. And Jesus said to his disciples, he's habitual learners, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be scatterbrained about with cares about your life, your soul, as to what you will have to eat, or about your body, as to what you will have to wear. I'm going to tell you something. If you've been hungry, you do worry about having food.
Yeah.
I lived in Fish Lake Valley. We started working up here in about 1953 with my stepdad, Dale Remling. I was actually with him only. My mother and sister came up here very seldom. But I was up here with him quite a while. And we moved here about 1956, and my mother had never been away from home. My grandmother did all the cooking. And we got up here in the wintertime in Fish Lake Valley. That was in the 50s. Now, we had about a 1953 or 54, 55 Ford. I think it was a 53 or 4. Ford truck. It was a one-ton truck. And that's the only thing we had to drive from Fish Lake Valley. We lived in the south end of Fish Lake Valley to Big Pine or Bishop, California. And that was a day's journey. I mean a hard day's. Now, Marilyn, we can leave now in that Toyota Avalon or one of those T-100s or something, and we can get over there in Bishop and probably an hour, hour and a half, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Back at that time, it was about 4 hours. It wasn't very far, but it's about a four-hour drive.
Mm.
If you can make it. And we went over there to get food. Well, we got over here in the middle of the winter time, and you couldn't drive over there. The passes were all snowed in. And my grandmother had come up in the summertime, and she brought a 100-pound sack of potatoes and some beans, fennel beans and things, because my grandmother knew what it was to be without food. We got in the middle of that winter, and we had nothing to eat. The chickens quit laying. And we couldn't eat the chickens because then we'd have no eggs. I was shooting rabbits and doves and quail and whatever was around, and all of a sudden everything hibernated. There was nothing to even shoot. We had problems. We had no food. We drank milk. That was about it, milk. I took milk for lunch, and I ate milk for dinner. Now, a doctor had come up here and had left his rifle and shotgun behind. He was dove hunting on the Snow Goose Ranch, which was a good place to dove hunt. And he walked off and left $3,000 or $4,000 worth of shotguns laying up against the fence down there. We found them. And he called back over on Oasis number one, one long and two shorts, and he got a hold of us, and he said, I got permission from you to hunt on your place, and I forgot and left my shotguns. Can you check and see if they're still there? And my dad said, well, they're there. We got them, and they're here, oh, safe now. All right, boy, we'll come over there. Well, when he came over there, he bought some candy and dates and nuts and all kinds of stuff, and two or three cases of oyster stew. I cannot eat oysters. Oyster stew makes me sick. Well, that's all we had to eat besides milk. And I could not get it down my throat. I just drank the milk and forget it. I was hungry. Now, when you don't have food, it's very important to get something to eat. Your stomach hurts. I know what it is for my stomach to hurt, my stomach to swell up. I know that what that is. Well, this verse here is telling us about the cares of the world. When I was a young boy, growing up in the cotton fields and the potato fields, we ate beans every day. In the wintertime, that's okay in Bakersfield. But we had no refrigerator, we had no electricity, we had no running water. We had a great big bean pot on top of a little pot-bellied cast iron wood stove. It wasn't an oven, had an oven and everything like we have here. Just a stove with two little plate caps on top where you could cook. And we'd fire that thing up, and the beans we had to leave in the pot. We couldn't cook beans. It takes 3 or 4 hours to cook beans. We couldn't cook beans, get in from the fields, and you're starving to death, and we'd have a great big pot. My grandmother would, when finally run out of beans, she would put another pot on and fire that stove up, and then when we got back, we'd fire it back up and finish cooking the beans. Didn't have much meat to put in them, hog rinds, things like that, bacon ends and pieces. That was the luxuries. Most of the time we had beans with beans and no bread. Beans with beans. Sometimes we'd get onion. Sometimes we'd get some potatoes. This was rare when they were in season. And we'd come home in the wintertime and fire that stove up and let those beans boil about 20 minutes so it'd kill the bacteria in them. And hopefully you didn't get food poisoning, because we did a lot. Poor people have four ways. But in the summertime, it was horrible. We'd come home from the fields, and the pot would be boiling, fermenting, and stinking. You'd have to fire that stove back up and boil it, and my grandmother would throw baking soda in it. She figured that would keep us from getting sick. Yeah. Hard times. Food is... We do worry about food, don't we? But now God tells us, give us this day our daily bread. We need to pray about that. And then trust God. But don't lay down and wait for Him to give it to you. Get out and work. Mm-hmm. Do something. Mm-hmm. My son, I saw him yesterday, and he said, did you raise any lazy kids, Dad? And I said, I tried not to. I said, if they got laziness, they didn't get it from me. That's a fact. Am I lazy?
No, not a bit.
I work. I work preaching. I work doing whatever I do. I work. I get it done. Go to work. Pray for a good job. I know people that hadn't had a job for a year or two, looking for a good job, ready to go to work doing anything, turning hamburgers in McDonald's or something to get a job. Not easy to get a job like it used to be. When I was young, the big farmers and everything down there are using illegal aliens as workers because they're cheap. Back when I was young, you could get out of school and go to work in a potato shed or out in the field picking cotton or whatever you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You can't get a job doing that now. Not easy. Jobs are all had, and if you got one, you'd get one for very little money. Good jobs are hard to come by. Randall, our webmaster, was out of work for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Really wrestling, trying to get a job. Finally, he got a job. Not near what he was making before, but he got a job. He's great, great computer programmer. Hard to get a job. The cares about the, of this world. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and he finally got a job with a company that he first started with. Where he began is where he is now. Thank God for that. The cares and the troubles of this world, about what you eat or what to put on, those are important things. When I moved to Fish Lake Valley when I was a little boy, I lived in Bakersfield before that. And Bakersfield's got pretty mild winters, mm-hmm, and hot summers. I came up here the first summer I worked up here in Fish Lake Valley. I loved it. It is 75 and 80 degrees every day. And chilly at nighttime. You slept real good. But boy, when the winter hit, below zero, you need shoes, you need clothes, you need coats. When weather is like that, you need something to wear. I went over in the Middle East and wandered around over there from December to May of 1975 and 76, and I just had a light jacket. It wasn't cold, I like Southern California weather. Mm-hmm. Wasn't bad at all. But I'll tell you what, up in this country in the wintertime, when it gets wintertime, you better be prepared. And that is a worry. Mm-hmm. But prepare. Prepare. Yeah. The whole thing is prepare. I remember when I moved here in the early 80s, late 70s and early 80s, I bought a place down in the middle of the valley, and we had cold winters back then. And I remembered those cold winters when I was a little boy. And I drilled a water well, and then I proceeded to dig a 6-foot ditch from the water well to my house to put the water line in. Everybody says, why are you digging it that deep? I said, because I've seen it freeze 48 inches deep, just solid here. Oh, it's not going to do that. Very first winter, everybody's lines froze up but mine. I was prepared. You prepare. Whatever you're going to do in life, prepare for it. Mm-hmm. Prepare. Prepare with education. And the Word of God is very important. You want to know, well, I don't know what church to go to, then study, prepare. Find out. Study the Word of God. Study history. Study this trail of blood here, the whole evolution of theology and everything, and find out where you ought to be. Worry about what you're going to wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Verse number 24 now. Verse 24. Let's look at that. Kara no salte. Tusk karakos. Hote u sperosusen. Ude terosusen. Hois uk esten pameon. Ude apotheke. Kai hothios. Trefe altus. Poso. Balon hemes. Diaferete ton pet tenon. Consider the ravens, the caracas. Consider the ravens. You know what a raven does, Marilyn? Can you hear a raven?
Yeah.
What do? Do they do a caracas? Do they croak? Ravens croak, don't they?
Yeah.
They croak like a frog.
Oh.
Yeah, they do. Caracas. The ravens, the croakers.
Oh, I guess.
That not they sow, nor they reap, which not is a storehouse nor a barn. They don't have a storehouse nor a barn. And the God, he feeds them. How much rather or more ye differ from the birds of the heaven. Let's look on here now. God cares for you. He does care for you. Use your good noggin. What God gave it. That like one old preacher, Dr. Hoyt Chastain, used to say, use that head for something besides a knot to tie your backbone into. Other than a knot on top of your backbone. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Observe and consider the ravens, the croakers. For they neither sow nor they reap, and they have neither storehouses nor barns, and yet God feeds them. And how much more worth are you than just birds? God loves every bird, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. He does.
He loves every bird. He loves every little animal out there, and he provides for all of them. He provides for all the frogs. I'm an animal lover. I've been a hunter in my life and everything, but I do love animals, don't I, Marilyn?
You sure do.
Now, when I come into my yard down there, when I've got frogs are real important because they eat bugs. Bugs are no nuisance. They're a curse. Every little frog in my yard, I'll get out and move him out of the way so I don't run over him. I'm not lying about that. I do that. It takes time to do it and effort, but I do it. Because every one of those are God's little frogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're every one of them. And they're doing a job. I got little black phoebes around there. I call one of them Rooster. He got a little top knot on his head, and he follows me around all over down there. And I've got black phoebes up here. They eat bugs, and they eat hornets. When I moved into that place 20 years ago on that farm, there was bushes and trees and shrubs and everything all around that house, and every one of them had about 5 hornets' nests in it. I've been bit by wasps and hornets. Well, I cut them, most of them down. And I've got scars all over me from wasps and hornets biting me. But those black phoebes, man, I just love them. I won't disturb their nests because they eat those wasps and hornets. I don't have any wasp and hornet problems anymore. Nothing. I used to set out in the backyard after I was operated on for cancer about 2002 or 3. I'd sit out there with my BB gun, which shot really good, and there were oak barrels out there in the back, and I'd sit there and I'd watch these wasps and hornets. Wasps and hornets have paper shell or paper nest. And they come out there and spit on that wood and take it up and then go make a nest out of it. They come out there and I'd shoot them with a BB gun. One after another. People come out there and they didn't believe I was shooting wasps with a BB gun until they saw it. I had one, Mike Culp, come out there, and he said, "Can you really do that?" I shot about 15 or 20 wasps in a row. He said, "How long you been doing that?" I said, "All my life, just about." Mm-hmm. Prepared. I used to shoot for a living. Mm-hmm. I had to shoot. I couldn't miss one shot. Because that may be what we ate that day, or we didn't eat. Mm-hmm. It's real important. Am I a good shot, Marilyn?
You're very good.
Well, I prepared. God gave us these animals, so, and I love deer. I love doves and quail and chuckers and all of that. But sometimes I'll go out and harvest one of them. But I'm respectful to it. Mm-hmm. I didn't follow it down and conquer it and overcome it. It gave us life for me. I always pray every time I eat. I pray and I thank God for the animals that gave their lives for us. We need to be thankful for everyone because God cares for everyone. Mm-hmm. I wrote a book one time, Introduction to Thoughts and Customs of American Indian. In that book, I talked about eating hamburgers from McDonald's and Burger King. I said, you never respect the animal or the food you're eating until you go to a slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And then you respect what you're eating. It's not just it's not just something grows like that.
Yeah.
Mm. Every little animal that stood for Christ suffered. Suffered when it was killed. Mm-hmm. Every animal, every sacrifice, showing us what Jesus did for us. Let's go on a little bit further. Otherwise, and consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, yet God feeds them, and how much more worth are you than the birds of heaven, and God cares for every one of them. 25. Tis de ex himon, merimonon, dinate, epitein, helikion, autu, prosane, Peking. And who? Which one out of you, being worried, or you're split mind again, Mary Manao, is where it comes from, your mind scatterbrained, he is able, upon the height of him, to add 18 inches. Can you add 18 inches to your height? Now, he could have said 2 inches, and maybe we could do that with elevator shoes or something.
Mm-hmm.
18 inches, now that's different. 18 inches. 18 inches, a whole cubit. I don't care what you do, can you add a cubit? A un ude ilakiston dinaste ti periton loipon merimanete. Since, therefore, neither the least you're about Why? Concerning the other things you're anxious and worrying about. Let's go back and read these two verses. Verse number 25 and 26. And which of you, being over anxious and troubled with care, can add a cubit to his height? Or a moment unit of time to his age? You can't add 1 minute to your age. The length of his life. If then you're not able to do such a little thing as that, why are you anxious and troubled with cares about the rest of the things, those remaining things? Verse number 27. Kata nosate ta krina pos ax ane u koipia ude nathe lego de himen ude Solomon. En pasa te doxa autu peribaleto. Hos en tuton. Now down on our creek is this verse. Right down on our creek. Sharon, when we were ready to move up here, she gave us a little metal plaque with this verse on it. Right here. 1227 to put on our creek, because this place is beautiful. We went down on that creek today, didn't we, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. We may live in poverty up here. We have two poverty places, one in California, one here. We may live in poverty, but boy, we sure have got a beautiful place to live up here in poverty, don't we? Mm-hmm. Ye consider, kata nosete, get your mind, get your thoughts together, it says. The lilies, how it grows, the lilies. How the little crina, the lilies, how each one of them grows. Not it labors, nor it spins. I say to you that neither Solomon in all the glory of him, he was clothed for himself as one of these. Each and every flower that God has created is greater than anything that we can do. Mm-hmm. We try to make artificial flowers, but they're artificial flowers, aren't they? They're all artificial flowers. They're not flowers. Mm-hmm. We can't make them like God makes them. We try to make them look like that. Mm-hmm. 28. Ede en agro ton corton. Ota semion. Samaron, that is. Kai arion. Ace klebanon. Balomenon. Hothios. Autos. Am. Ferethe pasa malon himas oli go pistoi. And in the field, the grass, the corton, the grass, being today and tomorrow, unto an oven. They use grass for starting fires, Marilyn. Mm-hmm. They go out there and gather grass. Mm-hmm. If you need to start a fire up here in this high country, go out here and get this Indian rice grass, what they call rice grass. Mm-hmm. You get some of that rice grass, and it'll start a fire real fast. Mm-hmm. That's what it's talking about, grass, to use for a fire starter. Throw it into oven, and being thrown in the God in this manner, he clothes how much rather ye of little faith. 12:28. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, into an oven, for starting purposes, how much more will he clothe you, O you people of little faith? Go on just a couple of more verses. Kahimes me zetete ti fagete. Kai ti piete, kai me metamorizeste. And ye, not ye seek what ye may eat, or what ye may drink, or not ye may be in doubt. And not ye may be in doubt. 12:29. And you do not seek by meditating and reasoning to inquire into what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be anxious and troubled in mind, unsettled and excited and worried and in suspense. Verse number 30. Tauta, gar, panta, ta, ethne. Tu cosmu. Epis etusen. Himal. Deho pater. Udain hote crezete tuton. For the things, all the nations, all the heathens, all the Gentiles, all the nations of the world, they seek after. Jesus is telling his disciples, he's talking to his disciples. This is for his disciples right there. Right there. These people would all give their lives for the Lord. They would all lay down their lives. But he said, don't worry about wherever you're going. Now this is for them, okay? Don't worry about where you're going or what you're doing. Because I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. For these things, the nations, the lost world worries about, they seek after. But you, the Father, he has known that you have need of these things. The Lord, God, Father of heaven and earth, he knows what you need. Mm-hmm. And he's going to provide it for you. And he was talking to them. Remember, he told them to go out without a wallet. Mm-hmm. Without any food, no lunch, no extra clothes, nothing. Go out there, I'll take care of you, trust in me. 12:31. Plain seithete ton basileo theu, autu, kai tauta prostera theisete, amen. But seek after the kingdom of him, and these things it shall be added to you. These things shall be added to you. This is for them right there. This was for them. Jesus was giving them hope and giving them encouragement because they were going to be without him one of these days. Mm-hmm. Paul said he was hungry many times. Yeah, he was. Paul was hungry. He was sick. He was stoned. He was beaten. And he was beheaded, finally. He was cold and down in that dungeon in Rome. He said, please bring me a coat. Please bring the scriptures to me so I can read the scriptures. Please bring them. God provided people. While Luke followed Paul, Luke, a physician, a doctor, a scientist, a physicist, followed Paul and took care of him. God provided Luke for Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul couldn't have made it without Luke. Mm-hmm. Luke was a necessity. Timothy was a necessity. Now, we are not called upon to do what these people did back then. In this age that we live in here today, in America. But a lot of you listening to me are not in America. Some of you are listening over there in faraway countries and Muslim countries where you would die for your faith very quickly if you as much as preach the Word of God. Sometimes God has to keep people die in faith or die in grace. I was talking to an old man one time. He said, well, I know that when I come to the end that God's going to give me the grace to face death. But he said, I know it's not right now because I'm scared to death. He did die later and God did give him dying grace. He was in a real bad situation at that time and God brought him through that one. But we all have to die at times. We all die. Just like the grass in the field, one day it's alive, the next day it's gone. That's what happens to us. God watches over each and every one of you and he knows what you need. And we paid for him. We prayed for him. And the Lord tells us, keep on asking me over and over and over again. Just keep on doing it. If you need it, keep on asking. And he will answer you one way or another. Our Heavenly Father will send this message out about the cares and worries of this world. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that you gave Peter and Paul and James and Bartholomew and Nathaniel, all of these people that one time or another died for you and were persecuted heavily, but you told them that I'll be with you. And the Lord told us, you told us that you would be with his church, your church, till the end of this age, and we know you will be. It didn't cease and go out of existence. It'll be here when you come back for it. But God, the Father, forgive me where I fail you. And help us to glorify you with our lives, where we are all throughout the world, wherever this message goes. Please bless the hearts of those that hear it.